This is Cast of Wonders, the fiction audio magazine for young adults featuring stories of the fantastic. Welcome. Today we present A Clean Sweep of It by Thomas Canfield. Canfield's phobias run to lawyers, politicians, and oil company executives. He likes dogs and beer. And now, we've a tale to tell. A Clean Sweep of It by Thomas Canfield. When Marianne opened the door, she was quite surprised at what she found standing there. A boy, no older than herself, but attired in a most odd and unconventional manner. He wore an elegant frock coat, along with a great black top hat, a hat so tall he might easily have hidden a rabbit under it, and no one would have been the wiser. His face and hat, his trousers and hands, were covered with soot. "Why, you look ever so funny," Marianne observed, and then, thinking this was a rude thing to say, she added, "That is, I don't remember anyone coming to visit in a top hat before. Mostly guests just wear glasses. Or if they're women, lipstick. Although I suppose lipstick and a top hat would be a little much." The boy doffed the hat, made a sweeping bow. "Clean your chimney, miss?" he asked. He leaned on the bristly brush that he carried, grinned, very much at his ease. "A chimney sweep!" Marianne exclaimed. "That explains everything!" To be honest, it didn't quite explain everything, for the sweep carried a ring of keys attached to his belt, keys of a most curious sort, some silver, some bronze, some square, others round. Marianne had never heard of a sweep carrying keys before. "I suppose the chimney could stand a scrubbing," Marianne reflected. "It hasn't been cleaned in ever so long. It's quite old and dark, and when the wind blows it makes all manner of noises. I shouldn't care to climb up there myself." "I clean every kind of chimney, miss." The sweep gave a jaunty twirl of his brush. "Narrow and crooked, old, young, it makes no difference. Noises are a particular specialty of mine. They can be devilish tricky, and some sweeps, they don't know how to deal with them. But never was a noise I couldn't locate, miss. I finds them, and when I does, I eliminates them. The chimney hasn't been cleaned properly till Avery's been on the job. I tell all my customers that, and it's true. Ask any one of them." "You hardly need your customers to proclaim your merits," Marianne smiled. "You've done so thorough a job of it yourself, what could they add?" Marianne beckoned for the sweep to enter. "Do come in. Only wipe your feet first. Mother is most particular about that." The sweep slipped off his shoes, left them outside. He made his way right to the chimney without Marianne even having to show him the way. "Now, miss, this chimney is every bit as handsome as I imagined. A very fine specimen indeed." Marianne nodded. It was a grand old chimney, to be sure. It had been fashioned from the best brick by the best masons and was 200 years old at the very least. The sweep rested his ear against the brick, listening, much as a doctor might monitor a patient's heartbeat. "But neglected, most sorely neglected." The sweep pursed his lips, caressing the bristles on his brush. "Never you mind, though. We'll soon remedy that." The sweep ducked a look up the vault of the chimney. "It's just as I thought," he declared. He scrambled forward, and first his head, then his torso, and finally his feet disappeared. There was a hollow thumping sound from within the chimney, and a thin flurry of soot drifted down. The sweep popped back out, nimbly and without apparent effort. The very tip of his nose bore a great daub of fresh soot. Grinning, he fished a handkerchief from his pocket and wiped his nose clean. "Well, miss, it's no worse than others that I've seen," he said, "and I'll charge you no more despite the extra work. These old houses, you never know exactly what you're going to find. Personally, it isn't the brownies that I mind so much. They're amiable enough, for all that they have no business taking up lodging in your chimney. But the pixies, oof, they're another story altogether." "Excuse me?" Marianne was startled. "Did you say brownies? Do you mean to imply that there's some sort of creature residing in the chimney?" "Well," the sweep ruffled his black hair, It is an old house, miss. Brownies are especially partial to such. It lends the place more of a home-like feel, as it were. You've noticed that yourself, I dare say. But creatures? Marianne repeated, her voice faint. Living in the chimney? To be sure, miss. That noise you've been hearing, that wasn't only the wind, you know. It's quite the hardest part of my job, booting out the wee folk. The brownies, like I said, they're reasonable enough. Once they've been found out, they realise the game's up. But the pixies, oh, the fuss and stir they create. The scandal. To their way of thinking, they's as much right to the place as yourself. Maybe more. It's a terrible thing dealing with a creature that has no more sense of right or wrong than that. Marianne rubbed her eyes as though in the middle of a bad dream. Oh, and you can persuade them to leave? All of them? It's my job, miss. If there's one thing I know better than my own face, it would be chimneys. I was very nearly born in one, so to speak. I knows them as well as anybody. Even the pixies will tell you that. Now, the sweep slipped out of the frock coat and rolled up the sleeves of his shirt. I'll just gather my wits about me. You don't ever want to plunge into a chimney without having a care as to what you're about. Certainly Marianne wasn't going to argue with that. She had no plans of plunging into any chimney. But if it ever came to it, she would do so with her eyes wide open. Got my broom, rags and an handkerchief. The sweep took a quick inventory of his tools. Magic charm and keys. The sweep dangled the key ring at his hip. Can't go anywhere without my keys. Now I have it, Marianne exclaimed. Keys mean that there must be locks, and locks mean that there must be doors. Right you are, miss. The pixies will hollow out a little spot right in the heart of the chimney. They're very fond of their comforts, pixies are. And since they don't intend on sharing with anybody, they fashion gates and doors out of whatever's at hand. Birch bark or apple wood or hickory nut shells that squirrels have hidden in the chimney. They're fearful cunning when they put their minds to it. Now these keys, I designed them myself, smelted the metal and allowed it to cure under moonlight. Ensorcelled they are. Were they any less powerful, they'd never open a pixie lock. Not a chance in the world. Marianne examined the keys with great respect, scarcely daring to touch them. I never knew there was so much to being a chimney sweep, she admitted, feeling a sense of shame at her own ignorance. I always imagined that all you did was, you know. Marianne made a motion of scrubbing with the brush. But it seems it's ever so much more than that. The sweep grinned and executed a bow in acknowledgement of this praise. It's the ins and outs of the trade, miss, the little things that distinguish a great sweep from a merely ordinary one. Only remember, you must do your part as well. Marianne felt a sudden bolt of panic. But what am I to do? I know nothing of chimneys. In truth, they're so dirty and dark and spooky, I should much prefer to spend my time somewhere else. Ah, the sweep passed his fingers along the handle of the brush. You would not feel so once you come to know them. But no matter. Look, you've only to wait here at the bottom, and when a brownie comes plummeting down, escort him to the door and bid him return no more. It's that simple, really. Well, Marianne brightened. Certainly I should be able to manage that. I need not even get soot on my dress. Mother would be most upset should I do that. Marianne warmed to the idea, for now she would actually get to see these brownies, and speak to them as well. Imagine living in a chimney of all places. What curious creatures they must be. Wish me luck. The sweep ducked into the well of the chimney, smiling easily. Luck, Marianne called to him, and with that the sweep disappeared up the chimney like a puff of smoke. A series of noises issued from within, little scratching and scrabbling and chirruping sounds. A spill of soot was followed by a grunt and a muttered oath. Marianne heard the words, "Let me go!" several times, and then, "Watch out below!" A whooshing sound shook the chimney. First one, then another apple-cheeked little fellow landed with a thump. They jumped up immediately, shuffling their feet and ducking their heads in embarrassment. They were a foot high at most and looked so much alike that Marianne could scarcely tell them apart. Finally, the nearest stepped out of the fireplace, doffed his cap and addressed her.
"Begging your pardon, miss, we meant no harm. It's been 15, possibly 20 years at the most. How we came to select your chimney and not another, I hardly remember. I believe it was Jake here who suggested it."
The first brownie indicated the second, who was busy picking bits of soot out of his hair.
"If you mean to yell at anyone, it's only proper it should be him."
"But why should I wish to yell at you?" Marianne exclaimed. "I hadn't known that you were living in the chimney until today. A fine pair of squatters you are, I'll say that." In truth, there was something rather comical about the two brownies. They scurried back and forth to no purpose, patting absently at their pockets and bumping into one another. They wore identical green vests, much too short for them, and belts trimmed with ivy and adorned with copper rivets. They were scarcely taller than Marianne's cat, Mittens. It would be very bad form to yell at such a pair as this. "Come, there's no need to rush about so," Marianne tried hard to suppress a smile. "Gather your things and I'll show you to the door." The brownies began to snatch up their belongings, a silver pocket watch, a miniature harp, a pair of red velvet slippers, and stuff them in their pockets. Marianne escorted them to the door, noticing how they dragged their feet and hung back, reluctant to leave. She handed them each a chocolate chip cookie at the door.
"Well, that's most kind of you, miss."
The first brownie doffed his cap again.
"Very kind indeed,"
added the second, nibbling at the cookie. Marianne felt a pang of guilt as she watched them wander off down the walk, wondering if she was doing the right thing. All of that changed, though, when the pixies started coming down the chimney. They were no bigger than the brownies. Indeed, most were smaller, but they were sharp-featured and sharp-tongued, rude and unpleasant. One, two, three, four came plummeting out of the chimney in short order. They were hopping mad.
"I've never been treated so in all my life," one huffed.
"An outrage," declared another, "a violation of common decency."
"There I was admiring myself in the mirror," the third recounted. "Suddenly I'm seized by this big hulking lout for no reason. Like that he grabs me without so much as a how do you do. An apology is most certainly in order. At once, if you please."
The pixie cocked its head imperiously. Marianne was astounded at this piece of effrontery. If not for the fact that she was a well-brought-up little girl taught to be polite, she might have seized the pixie and shook him till his teeth rattled. As it was,
"Perhaps you have forgotten whose house this is and whose chimney. Trespassers should take more care with the words that they utter. If anyone is to apologize, it should be you."
All four pixies began to speak at once. They jumped up and down, pushing and jostling one another. They whistled and clapped their hands, snapped their fingers and made faces at Marianne. One stuck out its tongue. Marianne was quite disgusted by their antics. She herded them to the door, shooed them out with cold dignity. There were no chocolate chip cookies this time. Marianne returned to the fireplace. The words, "Lost one!" echoed down the vault of the chimney. A chubby, ungainly pixie, twice the size of the others, landed with a sound like a ripe tomato hitting the floor. He brushed the soot from his thighs and bottom with slow, ponderous dignity, and then cast a look of searing reproach at Marianne.
"All these years, all these many years, back almost from when the house was first built, I've lived here. And now, cast out upon an heartless world, such is your gratitude."
He made his way to the door by himself, his manner and self-possession such that it was almost like watching a parade. He turned to face Marianne.
"Never until now have I understood the true meaning of the word betrayal."
With that, the door closed behind him. The sweep slipped down out of the chimney. His face and arms were smeared with soot, but he was grinning and appeared none the worse for this ordeal.
"How's that then, miss? Quite a little menagerie you'd collected there in the chimney. But they're gone for good now. Except for that last one, that big fat fellow. I had the devil's own time getting him out. A bold, brassy one he is. You'll need to keep an eye out, make sure he doesn't try and sneak back in."
The sweep wet his thumb, wiped soot off from under his eyes.
You know, miss, you might want to consider cleaning the furnace as well.
The furnace? Mary Ann was taken aback. Whatever for?
Why, there are trolls, miss. There are gremlins. Things what even I don't know the names for. You need to take them by the ear and fling them out, same as what we've done with the pixies. They get in the heating pipes and vents, and they can cause no end of trouble. The clanging and the hissing, it can keep a person up nights. Best head them off before there's a problem. You say the word, miss, and we'll have a go at them. They're a rum lot, they are, and not something I would want crawling around my house.
Mary Ann thought it over for all of half a second. Then she and the sweep headed for the basement.
And so ends a clean sweep of it. Come tell us what you thought of the story in the forums at castofwonders.org/forums. We'd love to hear from you. Cast of Wonders is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Share it, but don't change it or sell it. Theme is Appeal to Heavens by Alexei Nov from musicalley.com.
The sweep pursed his lips, caressing the bristles on his brush. Mary Ann had never heard of a sweep carrying cheese before.